Hello, on the stack this week, we go to places: Taiwan, Poland, and France. Our Asia editor speaks to the publisher and chief editor of a new Taiwanese bi-monthly title, Verse, plus a great Polish food title, Food and Friends, and we discover what's cool when I speak to the founder of a magazine titled precisely that, Where is the Cool? Enjoy! From Midori House in London, this is The Stack, 30 minutes of print industry analysis, and I am Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Coming up on the show, I speak to the co-founder of Food and Friends, a beautiful food title from Poland. Plus, Where is the Cool? Magazine. But first, we head to Taiwan. Verse magazine launched in Taiwan this summer as a 200-page Chinese-language bi-monthly print, focusing on culture, design, lifestyle, and the arts. Founder, publisher, and chief editor Cheng Ti-Chi spoke to our Asia editor James Chambers about why Taiwan matters, as well as his decision to launch his first media business at almost 50.
Cheng Ti-Chi, founder, publisher, and chief editor of Verse magazine. Welcome to Monocle 24. And congratulations on the publication of your very first issue of Verse magazine. Can we start by me asking you to describe to our listeners what is Verse magazine?
Well, the Verse magazine is a hybrid cultural magazine. Actually, Monocle is our great inspiration. We have like regular full sections like new ideas, creative business, art and culture, and ideologies. But besides those four regular sections, we have a huge cover story. So each cover story, I would like to say, is a statement or question to our time, especially in Taiwan. And we are bi-monthly magazine, so for each year we have six issues. That means six statements to our time. And for the first issue, the cover story is called Why Taiwan Matters.
And you've decided to go for three different covers. So you have, I guess, three different cover stories that answer this question of why Taiwan matters. Can you tell us a bit more about the people who appear on your cover and how they kind of answer that question?
Okay, let me explain why Taiwan matters as our launching issue. I guess for the past 6 months, during the global epidemic, the whole world has seen Taiwan in a new different way. And I believe we have to ask further why we Taiwanese can contribute to the world, what unique stories we have here. So I'm also asking questions for Taiwanese people. So we have like following stories. The first one is our digital cabinet minister, Audrey Tam. Her identity is she's a transgender. For her, she is always doing this work like combining civic culture with technology to deepen our democratic culture. And she's so popular right now in Japan because she has did a great job during the epidemic. And so that is our first answer, our first cover story. And the second one is Chen Zhonglong, who is new director of the world-famous dancing group called CloudGate. She just took this job last year, and I believe she brings new sensibility and artwork to Taiwan and also to the world. And the third one is more interesting. The third one, Alex, who is a chef in the southern part of Taiwan. She has great training in a very fine dining restaurant, but he decided to come back to his hometown in southern Taiwan, up in the mountain, because he wants more people to come to his hometown to know the land and food of his hometown, rather than working in the capital, Taipei. So these three persons, I think, believe, represent four answers to the question. We also have one more story in our cover story. It's a very interesting company called Gogoro, who produce the best and the coolest smart scooter in the world. So it's also the business. So that four stories combined to our cover story.
For all of our print and paper fans, diehard fans out there, can you just describe to us what this magazine looks like? You know, how many pages do you have? What kind of paper stock are you using?
Originally, we wanted to do like 160, and then we're just going crazy doing this, you know, like 200 pages. It's more like a book. So we do actually describe in Taiwan as a magazine book. And because we believe in our present times, we want a magazine to be really, you know, you can read like for 2 months and a lot of content you can read. But also we really emphasize the visual presentation. We wanted the visual style to be cool, intelligent, and bold, a little bit avant-garde. But it has to be readable, but it has to be look like very artistic.
So Verse hit newsstands and bookshops very, very recently in the last few weeks. What has been the initial reception in Taiwan?
Wow, you know, the initial reception has been much greater than I expect. We started this subscription in mid-July, and right now we have raised like 4 million New Taiwan dollars for our subscription. In the late July, we start to pre-order our launching issues. And for the first week, only the pre-order has occupied the top 1 and 2 list of all bookstores for the old magazine. And that's really surprising for me. And I mean, top 1 and 2 because we have 2 different covers. That means 2 different items, you know. So it's really amazing that 2 different items occupied the top 1 and top 2. And we started to, the book has been on the in a bookstore in the early August. And the several bookstores, including a slide bookstore, has really promoted us. I'm really glad that people like it. And also, it shows that we're talking to people, they are interested in supporting so-called culture magazine.
Would you describe this as a passion project for you, or is Verse meant to be a business that will at some point generate profit and pay for itself?
Yeah, I believe it's a business. You know, for me personally, I'm almost like 50 right now. I'm 48. And for the past several years, many years, I'm working in Hong Kong, in Taiwan, working as a publisher and an editor, but I'm not a boss. But right now, this is my own business. You know, this is first time I'm doing this, like, you know, I'm in mid-ages and start my first business. So I really want to be successful. So I'm thinking through very slowly. People say it's not easy. Yes, it's not easy. But we believe that, first of all, going bi-monthly can get us, you know, a little bit low cost. I don't need so many staff. And besides these magazines, we have also like to maybe organize a lot of events, you know, to organize events like screening, curation, and using Verse as a great cultural brand. So we want to attract different kind of people to support this cultural business.
I mean, we're in 2020 now. What made you decide, you know, as you approach that big milestone in your life, that 2020 was the right time to launch a new print magazine in Taiwan?
First of all, it's 2020, right? It's the beginning of a new decade. So I think it is great timing. And secondly, I think for the past 10 years, for the past decade, Taiwan has gone through a lot of changes. First of all, it's a new startup scene, a new business. And second of all, the culture and design power has get a lot of new momentum. And thirdly, you know, in Taiwan, there's a new lifestyle in every way, like cafe and restaurant, and even some new ideas. I mean, social ideas, like Taiwan has passed the same-sex marriage, but no single media has responded to this new trend in a very new way. So we like to, you know, I think it is the, so what, that's why I'm doing this right now, because I think Taiwan has get a new faith and new spirit. And so I want to do the new media to respond to this new trend using a new language and a new visual presentation. Doing media is always like to respond to our times, right?
Your Verse is a Chinese language publication. Obviously, it's because yes. it's in Taiwan, it's in traditional Chinese script. That obviously limits the readership to, I guess, to Taiwan and perhaps potentially Hong Kong. Is there a plan to try and broaden the readership beyond Taiwan? Or are you focusing on, I guess, your core market right now?
Actually, I have planned to expand to our market beyond Taiwan. So now the Hong Kong and Malaysia has a lot of people to subscribe and buy the magazine from the internet. And we're also planning to sell our magazine in Japan and maybe in some European and US independent bookstore. You know, like, we are foreign language magazine, but we are cool. We hope people will like it. That's also why we have this English name instead of a Chinese name. You know, people, we buy a lot of English and Japanese magazines, even though we don't read Japanese. But I think people who like print magazine might have a chance to like us. So yes, and also we want to have the electronic version. So the overseas Chinese who read Chinese will have a chance to buy Verse. That's the plan.
First issue is out. You must be now turning your mind to issue 2. Can you give us any kind of teasers of what you're working on for the next issue? And is there anything that you want to improve from issue 1?
We are considering doing a new trend in Taiwan. But new trend for you guys that might not be very new, but in Taiwan this year, the podcasting is bursting. Only in this year, people are talking about and are producing podcasts, and it changes everything. It's very interesting. I don't know why people, you know, I'm a podcast listening for like 10 years, but only in Taiwan, only in the end of last year, people are noticing this new trend, and there are more and more show and more platforms for podcasting. So we are trying to do a special issue on this new business and a new lifestyle.
That was James Chambers speaking to Chang Tiechi from Verse Magazine. And now we head to Poland to talk about Food and Friends, the food title co-founded by Igor Zastuk. The culinary lifestyle publication was created in 2010 and have incredible food stories not only from Poland but abroad as well. The title has exciting plans for its future. Igor tells me more.
We started magazine with my partner Camilla exactly 10 years ago. At the beginning, we were in connection with a Swedish magazine called Mat and Vänner, means Food and Friends. We bought the license. We were just crazy foodies who were nothing connected with the publishing business. When we talked to the people from the business, from media, and we said that we would like to launch a really high-end food and lifestyle magazine on the market, they said to us, "You're crazy, yeah? You are crazy, you have to go in online, digital, paper is dead." So I think when we met some potential partners, also some advertising suppliers, and we said what we are going to do, and we show more or less our number zero, what we printed, they told us, they encouraged us and say, "Come on, this is something what we really needed for our product to be there." So it was a big step and encouraging to go into this business. So I will say just the two foodies started the high-end, I hope, culinary lifestyle magazine 10 years ago.
Well, and it does look great. I mean, amazing imagery as well. And tell us, I'm always interested where the editors are based because, you know, you're not in Warsaw or Krakow, you're in Poznan, which, you know, is a city that I don't know much about it. But is it a good place? Is it a good city to be based on?
I will say like this, of course, everything is around the capitals, and Poznan is a more than 500,000 people city, but we have a very good connection. We have an airport, we have very good link to the Western Europe and Scandinavia. So from the business point of view, like being on some events and parties, of course, can be better to be placed in Warsaw. But from the perspective of just doing a magazine and travel, we don't see any difference to be Warsaw or Poznan. It's okay.
Well, and Igor, I want to talk, of course, about the latest edition, a summer special. There's this whole idea that you've named Tour de France, which I think is a fantastic idea. But can you explain a little bit more for our listeners? What is that?
Yeah, in fact, it was a very special edition, as you can imagine, totally not as we planned before. In February, we've been in London. We visited London. We were featuring London. And as you know, we have also visited Midori House. We met the Marcus Hippie. From 2 years, the idea of Food and Friends is except the featuring in every edition, one region or one city all around the world, which we make like a 40, 50 pages about the food scene. We invite also to Poland the chefs connected to the city or regions. The launch of last edition was in March, just right after lockdown started, so it was not so good time for launch. And we plan in April to do a big event for 200 guests in Krakow with the chefs from London who were present in our magazine. So we have invited the chefs from Michelin star restaurants like Kitchen Table to James Knappet. We talk also with James Lowe from Lyle's and The Floor. It was a kind of our business, what we were doing last year, and we were going to continue. And the coming editions, we are planning to be in Basque countries in the beginning of May, but of course everything collapsed by the situation. So So we are very close link with the culinary scene, with the HoReCa and the restaurants and this hospitality business. So we were really thinking what to do. And of course, we knew that we have to realize something here in Poland. Then, of course, during these 10 years, when we travel and meet the chefs, the owners of the restaurants, of the hotels, we make a very close relations with them. So we said, how to do that? We can, in some ways, help them, a kind of promotion when their restaurants will be open. From the other hand, how we can do it, because we really didn't know what will be the situation when the restaurants will be open. So we said, okay, when the government informed that probably the restaurants will be open in the beginning or maybe a bit later of May, we decided, okay, so let's go to some main cities of Poland. Let's make some tour and visit the places what we really love and invite the chefs who are really fantastic. And of course, from the logistic point of view, it was impossible to make, 25 visits in their restaurants. Also, we didn't know if they will be open. The first information was also that the restaurants will be open, but only outside the garden, the terraces, that inside you cannot go. It was this bit mess in communication. We said, let's visit 5 places in 5 cities and let's invite every place 5 chefs. So it gives us 25 chefs in 5 cities. And let's do this in the places where we know it's a terrace or some space outside, but we will be not limited with this all the sanitary rules, what was, of course, very strict when we planned it at the end of April. So that's why they say how to call it. So let's do it. We are the Food and Friends magazine. So let's do Tour the Friends. Then we thought, okay, but just visiting and shooting a food, and this is not enough. Let's do also maybe something good. A good for them, and a good means for the hotel owners, but maybe also a good for the people who are really on this first line of the front of fighting with the COVID. So we say, let's do this shooting now in this edition, but then it can be nice if every single chef will invite one couple to his restaurant and will host as a special guest. So we link these two things. So one is that to do a very nice Tour de France with reportage to our magazine, but then the dinners, which we will honor the people from these COVID fighters, but it's not only the doctors, it's also the people who make just good things. That was more or less the idea of the Tour de France.
And was it strictly Polish cuisine?
It depends, because it was also international chefs who are based here in Poland. I wish only, because I cannot, of course, say about all the chefs who joined, but I really wish to thank you, all of them. And maybe I will say about this just few places where we were shooting, because as you know, all these chefs, the restaurant, they were really struggled also, yes. And then from the other hand, you know about many places like them also who were supporting the hospital, who were doing some food for people who really need. So even that they have closed restaurants, they very often, they went with this big heart, they showed a big heart. We've been in Gdańsk in Hotel Hilton. Then we've been in Warsaw and Krakow at Likus Hotels, Warszawa, Hotel Warszawa and Hotel Stary. We do also dinner at Main Square Hospitality Group. This is also in Krakow. Then Wrocław, Castle Topacz and Poznań City Parks. I would like to thank to all the chefs and all the hosts who joined this project.
Well, absolutely. And I'm sorry for being a cliche, but I do love a good pierogi a lot, actually. So
the problem is that people connecting to Poland and sometimes, of course, Russia, we discuss it, who was Russia or Poland, the pierogi, like with vodka, we have also the same discussion. In eyes of many people, it's a bit heavy food, it's a bit old-fashioned, even that I love too.
I love it.
But that's not the point that we should be only connected with pierogi. I agree this is something what's maybe in a bit new form and maybe a bit lighter, a bit different, something, it's something that can open more wider picture about Poland and the Slavic food.
Listen, Igor, thank you so much and congratulations for your magazine. You know, it's really, really well done. I love the design and congratulations. When will the new one come out? I mean, I know this one is out already, but when will the next issue come out?
Yeah, the next issue will be in September. And if I can say also one word about it, because also, when, you know, this COVID situation a bit changed our plans, because end of September, we were planning to come with English version, international.
Amazing.
In 22nd of September, it was planned in Rotterdam, in the same place as its Eurovision competition. It was planned, yes, in Rotterdam. It was planned, the event called the Best Chef Awards. It takes chefs from all around the world, and it's organized by a very nice couple from Krakow. It was planned, the fourth edition, where we plan the launch of our international English version. So I think we will postpone this to next year. The Best Chef will be, but in the virtual version, of course. The next edition will be, we will plan to go our neighbors, Slavic neighbors from Czech Republic, we'll go to Prague, and it will be one of the main topics. It will be big material, what we realize soon in Prague.
That was Igor Chastuk from Food and Friends. Their latest issue is out now. And finally on the stack, where is the coup, you might ask? Well, the title of the same name is a pretty cool publication, founded by Laurent Laporte. Where is the coup is a lovely guide of all the good and cool things in life, from Ayrton Senna's short-sleeved shirts to Salvador Dalí's house in Portlligat. He tells me more on what's in issue 4.
I started Where is the Cool about 2 years ago now. So yeah, Where is the Cool is a magazine that gathers what is cool around the world, and where each article is an answer to the question embedded in its name. The cool can be anywhere, fashion, travel, food, art, sports. It could be like popular, snobby. At some point, it's a sort of pretext to speak about anything that deserves interest, or my interest, maybe.
Well, and that's what I like about Where is Cool, because it's actually not pretentious at all. It is a magazine about beautiful things, you know, and that can be kind of a beautiful house in Mexico to someone that is actually, frankly, quite stylish. I love how open it is in a way. I can see that you're not just doing like kind of a shopping catalog. Oh, you know, you need to buy this latest coat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And tell us a bit some of the highlights of issue 4. My personal highlight, I love the pictures with Ayrton Senna and his hobby, which is this radio-controlled aircraft. That was really beautiful.
Thank you. I don't know. I mean, there are no particular highlights in Where is the Cool, I think. We try to build each issue with a certain balance between each kind of subjects so that everyone can find an interest inside. For example, in issue 4, we talk as much about design, for example, plexiglass furniture from the 70s, about food with the first pizzeria, from Pepe, the first pizzeria that invented takeaway. Or it can be about fashion. There is this article that I like, for example, about the famous Adidas tracksuit, which is very cool if you wear it when you don't have to do any sports.
And Laura, you, in my opinion, you live in a very cool city as well. You're based in Paris, right?
Yeah, I'm in Paris, yeah, not far from Paris.
Of course, I'm not that familiar with the French print scene, but it seems like France is such a good place for print products and magazines. I always like see new magazines popping out. Do you agree with me, or what do you think?
There are a great place there. There is a lot of place in Paris where you can buy like a great printed stuff from, you know, for example, Palais de Tokyo to places like Yves Lambert or the OFR Gallery, or yeah, there's a lot of places where you can discover very nice stuff.
And Luha, before Where is the Cool, did you had experience with print, or that was kind of a complete change of career for you?
I didn't have this experience before. It was tricky at the beginning because, it's completely brand new. And today, printing something, if you use like the very good paper and you want to do it in France, it's something like pretty expensive, so you don't want to make like mistakes. You take a lot of time to understand everything and how it works. And now I think like every time we can try it on Where is the Cool to improve ourselves on the colors or the printing, the process, the paper. And now I think we find kind of a good balance between that stuff.
Tell us a bit, about kind of circulation or where people can buy Where is the Cool. I mean, I know it's a French publication, but, I see there's some interest from outside France as well, right?
Yeah, so the magazine now is a biennial. It's sold in many bookshops, so concept stores, museum boutiques, or renowned niche magazine outlets. So for example, Tsutaya Dakanyama in Tokyo, or the Palais de Tokyo in Paris, or FR, Casa Magazine in New York, TAC in London. So yeah, it's a lot of way to find it, I think, in many, many cities. And it's always good to support your favorite bookstore. It's always good to do that. But if you want to, for example, to support the magazine, you can also find it on our online shop, which is like witc.bigcartel.com.
And Laurent, my final question is, what is cool for you? Do you think cool can be found even in the simplest pleasures of life? Do you have a definition for it, or is it quite an open plan as well?
Yeah, of course, it can be like a bit of everywhere. But what is interesting about the notion of cool is that it has no precise definition and you can't freeze it in time. So some things can be cool forever and touch this notion so respected today that we call it timelessness. But others can only last a few years. And as I always said, cool is a dynamic. That's why it's so difficult to grasp. For a long time, for example, I associated this notion of cool with a form of what is linked to authenticity. But I would say that today I would associate it rather with sincerity. For me now, since not such a long time, what is cool has to come from something or someone who does nothing to make it appealing. I found that the cool places today are those that were not originally created to seduce us. And I think that today in big cities, there is too many things created to satisfy us, for example. And I think it's less and less cool in big cities because of that.
That was Laurent Laporte from Where is the Cool? Issue 4 is out now. Well, that's it for this week's show. My thanks to our editor, Jack Jewers. If you have any comments or queries, feel free to write to me, Fernando, at fb@monaco.com. And remember, we're back next Saturday at the same time. And of course, you can always listen to it again at monaco.com and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or SoundCloud as well. And before we go, a little song for you, Gwen Stefani with Cool. You've been listening to The Stack. I'm Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.